The Sesh Podcast, episode 196, take one. Bonjour, ciao, jambo, hola, and willkommen to the Sesh.
Willkommen?
Willkommen.
What's
probably
that?
Saying that very wrong. It's welcome in German. I just looked it up. Maybe it's willkommen, willkommen. Or do they say, is W kind of like a V? Like
willkommen.
Oh, yeah. Willkommen to the Sesh. I'm your host, Kendall.
And I'm Janelle, and we're joined by our producers, Carly and Sydney. Welcome, ladies.
Welcome.
Days, gays, straights, and all of the above. We love you all, and welcome to
That's
the Sesh.
That's right. And boy, do we have an episode for you guys today. So much we're going to get into today. I feel like we should kind of skip any personal chatter and just jump right in because we have a lot.
I have nothing to say about anything.
No?
No.
Uneventful weekend.
You did make a pumpkin bread. I saw
made a pumpkin bread and it was really good.
Excellent.
Big success.
I went to Despicable Me 4 with my two-year-old and she did great.
Great. Yep. Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. And so that's it. That's all you need to know. We have nothing else to tell you people.
So yeah, let's just really get into this. Today we're going over several different topics. First of all, we have a bit of a CSI, if you can call it that.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess. Yeah.
Technically.
Laws were broken.
No charges were given, though, but.
So we'll get into that. And then we also were really pumped to find out that there was a new documentary produced by Demi Lovato.
Yep.
It's called Child Star. And I feel like it's not getting enough attention.
I don't think so. Yeah, it came out last week. It's on Hulu. It was really good. So we just want to talk about it, kind of like give our thoughts and just have a conversation about it.
Because I think spread the word on it. I think more people should see it.
Yeah. Yeah. You should definitely check it out if you haven't heard of it, which you probably haven't, like Kendall said. But yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. So we're going to get into that. And then we also got to talk about Diddy, one of the worst people to grace this fucking planet.
It's disgusting human.
There's some updates.
I hate him.
I wanted to talk about them. I've always hated him before I knew about all
this. I know,
this.
You really have.
I have to bring this up every time.
Yes.
I just always knew he was a bad fucking person.
Yeah.
Well, I've always been Diddy's biggest hater.
You really have.
Mm-hmm.
Karma's coming for his ass.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it.
And it's so
really
sweet.
Bites him.
So satisfying to see this happen.
It sure is.
So, yeah, I wanted to go over some of those updates. There's obviously been some major updates. I'm sure most of you are aware. It's a huge story. But obviously, we covered that on Mile Higher, and then we've talked about it a few times on the Sesh as well, so I wanted to update on that.
If you're like kind of clueless as to what's going on, I would go ahead and watch our Mile Higher episode, just because that gives like a full deep dive and background of to how we got to where we are now. We're mostly going to be talking about what's happened since he was arrested, and we'll discuss a little bit before that as well, but
and just some information that's come out since our last coverage on it. But
yeah,
shall we jump in?
Yes, we have an exciting announcement first,
though. Oh, yes, we do. Some of you may have already heard the news via social media or my channel, TCKR. But we are so excited to let you all know that we have finally started a foundation. This has been something that we have wanted to do as a team for a very long time. And we've put a lot of work into getting this ready to go and envisioning what we want out of this, what we want it to look like, and how we plan on helping victims of violent crime.
Yep.
So if you didn't know, the new foundation is called Higher Hope, which obviously is a little nod to Mile Higher Media, but also what we really want this foundation to stand for and to give victims of crime, which is hope. So we have two different avenues in which we are planning to provide support, and we have two different grants for those two different avenues. One is the Hope Grant. And the Hope Grant was created with victims and families in mind, and it specifically offers financial assistance for those experiencing hardship in the aftermath of a violent crime or the disappearance of a loved one. And then we also created the Empower Grant, which seeks to provide financial support for nonprofits who help victims of violent crime and missing persons that need additional funding to meet their goals. So if you're interested in learning more about it, you can head over to higherhope.org. You can apply for a grant there, visit our website, learn about, what we're planning to do.
And one thing we're really excited to start doing is we are going to be donating a percentage of all of our merch sales going forward from any show. So if you buy merch from any of our four shows, there will be a percentage that is donated right to Higher Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a really good way to get involved and be able to, show your support. Or if you're wanting to donate directly, there's also a way to do that on our website. So just go to higherhope.org. We can also leave the direct link down in the description box if you want, and you can donate directly through there.
And we would really, really appreciate that. And, you know, I just wanted to say too, I've said it in the other announcements as well, that we really could not have done this without all of your support over the years. It really has helped us to launch this in a good position. Yeah, just thank you to anyone who has supported any of our shows at any time throughout any of the years that we've been going. I guess I've been at it now for like 12 years. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and I'm really, really, really grateful and excited about this. I can't wait to see what we do. And yeah, I'm just so pumped.
Yeah.
Really, really proud of this.
It's really exciting. And like Kendall said, this has been something we've wanted to do for a long time. And, you know, just really be able to get involved more so than we already are in fundraising. And yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons that I wanted to start this. I mean, it's always been great to work with so many nonprofits and fundraise for them. But I have always really wanted to see exactly where those funds are going and to be part of the process myself. And then be able to share that with you guys, for you to see the direct impact. So yeah, I'm just so excited and can't wait to see where it goes. All right, let's begin with our CSI of the day. So today we have sort of an unlikely criminal. She's only 8 years old. We have an icon, in my opinion. I love her. I love everything about this. And yeah, I feel like I don't even want to call her a criminal. She broke the law, but is it really her fault?
She didn't know she was breaking the law.
No.
So she's from Ohio. This little girl hopped in her mom's car for a little joyride to go to where other than Target?
No other place to go.
Now, do you blame her for it? I don't.
No. She needed to get to Target.
That's right. So this happened on September 15th. It was a Sunday morning. And Bedford police received a report of a missing child, at the same time taking a call that was concerning a small child driving east on Rockside Road, matching the girl's description, as reported by local news stations.
Can you imagine looking over and seeing an 8-year-old behind the wheel?
I would be so shook.
I'd be so confused.
Yes. Also, I still don't understand how she's reaching the pedal. She must be tall enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is very scary.
Oh, yeah. This is actually scary. There's actually dash cam footage of the kid driving. Let's go ahead and watch it.
And this is from some random guy who just happened to get this.
He also called the police.
Yeah, he was the one that called.
Bedford Heights Police and Fire.
This is Brian with a transfer for an erratic driver. It's in eastbound Rockside from Bartlett. It's going to be a white Nissan Rogue all over the road. I have a collar with eyes on it.
I love that it was a Nissan Rogue.
Going rogue.
Eastbound Rockside, hello?
Yeah, hello.
He's still
from Bartlett.
Yeah, he's up now crossing over 271. It looks like a kid.
Okay, it's a white Nissan Rogue.
Yeah, it's I have a license.
Honestly, the driving's not that bad. For an 8-year-old?
No, horrendous for 8.
She's on the right side of the road in the lane.
It's at 8:30 in the morning.
I'm sure he thought this was someone intoxicated, but then he's like so confused that it's a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it's not that bad.
It's not horrible.
It's pretty bad. Like, she was on the right side of the road. Well, kind of.
She's just like,
did she make it to Target?
Yeah.
Dude, the balls. I'd be terrified. There's no way with the anxiety I had at that age that I would have like taken a car and tried to drive. I was so scared to even start driving at 15. Terrified.
Yeah. I would have never done that.
No.
But sometimes you got to get to Target, okay? And the car was found in the Target parking lot. And this is crazy, you guys, but she drove almost 12 miles from her house.
That's insane.
Supposedly like a 25-minute drive through heavy traffic, although that video does not look like there's heavy traffic.
Pretty busy area.
But it's also a Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday morning. The fact that she like remembered how to get there is impressive.
I know. That's. I wonder if she had the GPS going though.
No, there's someone like turn right on. I said Sesame Street.
Are you kidding? Though kids these days would totally know how to like turn on their phones
right.
Maps.
Actually, no, you're right.
I guarantee you, she used maps.
Or like she just knows how to get to Target.
She doesn't has it memorized. Like, maybe, but 25 minutes. Okay, she remembers
that's
far.
That's a long way to go.
She was meticulously taking notes when her mom would drive with her.
She's like, okay, take
she's like
right.
Planning the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. According to the police report, the neighbor's Ring camera captured footage of the 8-year-old getting into the car by herself around 7 a.m. This isn't public, but yeah, so she just got out of her house, hopped in the car, Drove off.
What did she do as soon as she got in the Target? She hit up the Starbucks and got herself a nice Frappuccino.
That is what makes this story even funnier.
I know. I love it. I wonder what kind of Frappuccino.
Was found drinking her Frapp. The police are like, ma'am.
I need to know what type of frap she liked. Mm-hmm. I mean, was she going like more strawberries and cream or
it's probably like
vanilla bean?
Vanilla bean.
Yeah.
Dude, I used to hit up the vanilla bean frap. I haven't had that in, I don't even know, 20 years.
It's just a straight up milkshake. It's so good.
All the fraps are.
I always got that as a kid.
Or like the chocolate one.
Yeah, the Java chip.
Yeah, that one slaps.
Especially if you ask for extra Java chip.
Yeah. Did you ever have the cotton candy frap?
No.
It was vanilla bean and then you add pumps of raspberry sauce in it.
Oh, I remember getting that with you one time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was a caramel frap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The old caramel frap. Those were good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, in addition to this, it was reported that she had spent $400, and this doesn't make any sense to me, but supposedly she checked out by the time the cops came. This is not confirmed, but in my mind, I'm like, how in the hell is some little girl getting $400 worth of whatever, going to the checkout line, and the cashiers are like, hello, ma'am, how's your morning going?
Yeah, what?
Like, yes, all right, your total comes to $400. What? So yeah, that's not confirmed. I don't know. Maybe that's not true, but...
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's been reported. So now I want to know.
It took police a long time to get there, too, that she had time to like do a full shop, get a wrap, and go through the checkout.
It's giving Home Alone.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Honestly, when I watched Home Alone, I was like, I could easily do this. She literally goes to buy the toothbrush. I was like, is this toothbrush secured by the National Dental Association? Yes. Like, I don't know, sir.
Oh, it's almost Home Alone season. I'm excited.
I love Home Alone.
It's so good.
Anyways, the police called the girl's family to pick her up. Police were like, all right, come get your child, please. So they call up the family. Family comes to get the kid.
Imagine that call. I wonder, were they surprised or were they like, sounds about right for her?
Yeah, I know. I wish there was an interview.
A child is
them.
A level above.
Yeah,
so.
Seriously. but yeah, she wasn't charged with reckless driving because, well, she's 8. Yeah. And she probably had no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's fucking awesome. And I would like to meet her.
Yeah. Thank God she... Yeah. Like, that could have been so bad.
It's very scary.
That would scare the shit out of me if my kid did that. Oh my God.
Kendall, you're 6 years away from that.
Oh, dude, I hope she's not like that. Because I feel like that's a pretty rare... personality. Of course there's teenagers that like steal their parents' cars and stuff,
but
I was just so not like that. I don't know. I hope she was like me. I was afraid of everything and boring.
You weren't that boring.
I was pretty boring. I didn't like to break rules. I didn't like to lie to my parents and stuff.
Okay. You were a lot crazier than me.
Yeah.
So what does that make me? The most like
I'm sorry, but yes. Full weenie mode. I'm like a step above that. Neither of us would have been driving to Target, though.
Hell no, dude.
Who knows, though, with our little plans we used to make?
We would have
thought about it and been like...
If you had told me to do it, because I just did everything you told me to do. So I probably would have gotten in the car with you.
No, I wasn't nearly cool enough to think I could do something like that.
That is so scary, though.
Wait, Sydney, didn't you, like, steal a car as a kid?
I'm vaguely remembering this story.
Yeah. Do you mind sharing?
No, I don't mind. I didn't steal the car, but...
Well, kind of.
I mean, yeah, my friend and I, she had her permit, I didn't, and she lived really close to Taco Bell, and her mom had two cars, and so she left one of the cars at home one day during the summer, and she's driving around at first, and then she's like, do you want to try? And I was like, yeah, I'll try. And so
neither of you had your license?
No.
How old were you?
Maybe like 14.
What? 15. That's crazy,
Sydney was
dude.
A badass. She was a level above both of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A level above.
I had to learn the hard way. Not anymore.
Wait, so did you go to Taco Bell?
Yeah, so we went to Taco Bell.
What'd you get?
I don't know.
Bean and cheese.
Probably a bean and cheese. But literally the one time I get in the car and I'm driving, her mom turns the corner in the other car and sees me driving her car down the street. And I was like...
Did she notice?
Yeah, she noticed. It was like a neighborhood drive, like stopped, and I just got out of the car, and I was like, I don't know what to do.
Oh my God,
that was your friend, so funny.
Was your friend with you in the car?
Yeah.
Did you guys get in trouble?
Oh hell yeah.
Did they
yeah.
tell your parents?
Yep. And I got in so much trouble. That's why I couldn't get my permit until like later.
Because
they made you wait a little bit longer.
I can't believe you guys did that.
I know. I would have never had the balls.
It didn't seem like that big of a deal at the time.
It's like, I love that it's also to Taco Bell. Like, if there are two places to go, it's Target and Taco
Correct.
Bell.
Correct. Correct.
We could have easily walked. It was so close.
But it's more fun to
did
drive.
Did you go through the drive-thru?
Yeah, my friend did.
So funny. I love it. Now I could use some Taco Bell.
Yeah, I want to hear from any of our audience members. It sounded weird. Audience members.
Audience members.
Are you a member of the audience? I want to hear from you guys if you ever stole a car or like, no,
go for it.
Took your parents' car, did a joyride without a license.
Or committed Grand Theft Auto. I'd like to know that as well.
Yeah, leave that too. Okay. We'll take that.
That, yeah, that's.
Oh, and I did it another time too. Oh my God, that was.
Wait,
yeah.
You didn't learn your lesson?
Well, I didn't get caught the second time.
Was it with the same friend?
She learned how to not get caught.
No, it was with my dad's car.
Oh, did you have your license?
No.
Oh my God, you were like crazy.
She was.
So you just, what, were you by yourself?
No, I was with a group of friends. They wanted to like, go to this guy's house, and I was like, okay, I'll drive.
Like, jump in.
Yeah.
And you didn't get caught?
No, we got home like right before my dad.
Yeah. Did you ever tell your dad?
Just in time.
No, I don't think I told him.
Do you think he's going to listen to this?
We should call him and tell him right now.
He's going to be like, dude, I don't care.
No, but it'd be funny.
Dude, I would have like wrecked the car. I was such a bad driver when I first started. Like the first time my mom let me drive her car, I backed out of the garageway or out of
the garage
and I smashed into the back, and she was so upset, but she didn't want to traumatize me about driving and like make me scared. So she like, I'll never forget, she very like calmly was like, took a deep breath, went in the house, called your dad. And I don't know, just to like get advice. And he told her like, you know, she's got to get right back on it, like get back in the car. And we went down to the Hollywood Video and got a movie.
My dad said that?
Yes. Ask him about
so
it.
So not a Mark thing to say.
I'll never like forget. Like, my mom got back in the car. She's like, I talked to Uncle Mark. We're going to try again. Okay. This is all right. But she was so mad.
That's hilarious.
I didn't like smash it, but I scraped up the back of the car pretty good on the side of the garage.
Oh, so it wasn't like you backed into
No, I started like turning the wheel as I was straightening out of the garage and like backed into it.
But still, you had your permit though.
Yes.
You're like learning to drive.
Yes, I had my permit. Mm-hmm.
This episode of The Sesh is brought to you by Squarespace. From thoughtful conversations about mental health to commentary on culture, sharing ideas online takes a clear home. Squarespace gives you everything needed to offer services and get paid in one place. With customizable websites, professional invoices, online payments, appointment scheduling, and email marketing tools. With Squarespace email campaigns, all the tools needed to engage clients, promote services, and grow your business are built in, including automations and beautifully designed templates. Build a polished online presence that fits your style with Blueprint AI or award-winning templates. Review website traffic and revenue with built-in analytics, so smarter decisions are easier. Head to squarespace.com/launch for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code LAUNC to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Okay, so let's start talking about ChildStar. I am so, so happy that we decided to talk about this and that we found it. I enjoyed this so much. Josh and I were both so into it watching it. And this is out on Hulu now. It came out on September 17th, super recently. And Demi Lovato was the director and producer of the film alongside her co-director, Nicola Marsh. It's so good. I mean, I've really enjoyed Demi Lovato's documentary. I believe she has two others.
They're both excellent. But you guys have convinced me to watch them.
You definitely do. I've always been able to relate to her a lot. I've always really, you know, appreciated her openness, her vulnerability with her struggles with her mental health. She's been very open over the years about her eating disorder and just her experience with bulimia. And so I've always really connected to her on that front. But it's been really interesting to see her growth. And God, she has an incredible voice. She's super, super talented. I never really watched her growing up. Like, I didn't watch any of the, because what was she on, Sunny with a Chance?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Camp Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never saw Camp Rock. I missed out on that era.
I never saw it.
Oh, so good.
So she didn't know anything about her.
Yeah, she was on a lot of Disney original movies too. She has three documentaries. I didn't know this.
Yeah, they're great.
The first one was in 2012 called Stay Strong. Mm-hmm. Then she has Simply Complicated.
Oh, it's so good.
And then Dancing with the Devil was the newest
Dancing with the Devil was excellent. She has four, I guess, one.
Yeah, I guess this is her fourth one.
Dancing with the Devil is excellent. Yes. I've seen it multiple times. Really? I always cry. It's so, so good.
Because that's more about her like personal.
Yeah.
It's a lot about
her experience, her story, her journey, substance abuse, struggling with her mental health and bipolar disorder, and sort of some of the things that she went through, which she brings up some of that in this documentary as well. I really recommend watching it. Mm-hmm. It's beautifully shot. It's very entertaining start to finish. There was never a part where I felt like I was zoning out or felt bored. The interviewees are amazing. She has so many great people on there. And they were all so authentic and raw and well-spoken, insightful. And I just really, really enjoyed it. So if you haven't seen it, I would maybe even go watch it and then come back to the episode and listen to our commentary more. We're going to be going over like quite a bit of it today. And I know that a lot of people listen to our episode on Quiet on Set.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing a lot of comments of people saying, like, I want to know what's going on with that story, but it was too, it felt like too triggering to watch that.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to tell people that I don't think this, it can definitely still be triggering Child Star for sure. There's a lot of heavier topics, but I wanted to kind of let people know that it's very different from Quiet on the Set. There's nothing, as far as I remember, about SA.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I really don't think there was.
It doesn't really, like, Quiet on Set was more exposing Nickelodeon. This wasn't really like exposing anyone, but more just several different child stars speaking about their personal experience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would definitely recommend watching it. And obviously, like, we're going to be talking about it a lot, but we're not going through every little detail because you can just go watch it.
Yeah.
Every little detail.
And again, there are topics that are heavy topics of disordered eating, mental health struggles, substance abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was upsetting. I definitely shed some tears. It's very emotional. But I think it's a great watch. And if you're comfortable, I would highly recommend listening or watching it.
Which, by the way, there's not like really chronological order in this documentary necessarily. Kind of like bounces around. Yeah, there's not like a timeline. So we're not really following a timeline. We're just going to kind of like bounce back and forth, depending on, you know, which topic we're discussing and like which person she was interviewing at the time. But one thing I wanted to start with that was so interesting to me, they made this point about how before cable, obviously there weren't like channels for kids necessarily. They were child actors and they were in movies and such, but they weren't really the reason that that specific movie was, you know, super successful or whatever it was. They were just, you know, part of the movie.
Yeah.
And once cable started and once people started getting multiple TVs in their house, maybe a TV in the playroom or a kids room or something. And, you know, once the 80s hit and cable started becoming a normal thing in people's households, that's when it really blew up, this whole idea of now child actors aren't just there to play a part in a movie, but the entire movie or the entire show can be built around
the child's character.
And like they are the talent. And that was so, I was like, yeah, that's such a interesting thing because it completely changed
everything.
So Nickelodeon starts creating these shows that are specifically for kids. And obviously, what do you need for those shows? Kids.
And it was interesting how they talked about how they did field research and they found that kids like watching other kids. Which makes total sense.
They want to watch themselves.
They hadn't realized that.
Okay, so just a side note, I wanted to mention back in 1938, the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act, which was actually the first set of comprehensive federal labor legislation, was put into place. And this had, you know, wage, hour, workplace condition laws for the whole country. But what's interesting is that kids receive special protection except for child actors. So, you know, kids who were working in every other industry were getting this protection, but child actors weren't. And I thought that was so bizarre that they basically were exempt from it and able to just work as much as they wanted to or were told to.
It was just total Wild West.
It wasn't till Shirley Temple later that year. So, I mean, it wasn't super long, but yeah, at first there was no child protection and then Shirley Temple, I mean, thanks to her, obviously she wasn't the one starting the law, but because of her, kid actors were able to get protection. It's interesting that so many of the people that were interviewed were saying how Shirley Temple was really someone that they looked up to.
Yeah. I can see why.
Yeah.
Totally. Shirley, like, paved the way.
Yep.
Another interesting part of this documentary that I really enjoyed was the intro with the interviews of kids of today.
Yes.
And talking about what do you want to be when you grow up and how many of them said gamers and YouTubers and star. And like every kid, you know, most kids have at least one point in their life a dream of being a big star, right?
Of course.
But what was interesting that I hadn't really thought about, but this was something that Drew Barrymore actually brought up, how it's a completely different world now. Back then when she even started, She talked about how there were things that she had done that people never found out about because there was no social media,
right?
You know, and how she had like got away with all these things that people still don't know to this day. But now it's a completely different game. And it's kind of interesting looking at people like, I don't know if it would apply to Demi, but maybe Raven or some of the other, like Kenan Thompson, who when they got into things, they didn't know that that was going to be part of the deal later on. And it's something that these kids were mentioning. Like, I remember one specific child in that intro said, like, I think they were talking about the downfalls of it. And she was saying, but you have to deal with people taking pictures of you in public and posting it on the internet.
Right.
But that wasn't even a thought that a lot of these kids could even have had.
Exactly.
Or processed before getting into this world, and how things have completely changed.
Yes.
I mean, they've gotten so bad. People are just so mean. So I thought that was kind of interesting that those beginning interviews were very powerful to hear right from kids.
Definitely. So, like we said, there's a handful of people who are interviewed. Drew Barrymore was probably one of the ones that was in the majority of it. And like Kendall said, and we'll go through a lot of her personal experience, but first of all, I didn't even know she was a child actor. Am I just like clueless? Probably.
Well, yeah, I think like everyone knows that. She was an E.T.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't know that.
Wow, that's crazy.
But hearing her story was wild.
I know.
And then there was a lot of it. Kenan Thompson, who I love.
Oh.
I've always loved
him.
He's
so amazing. Did you ever watch like Good Burger and...
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Kenan and Kel?
Yeah.
Those are good times, yeah, man. I loved Kenan and Kel.
And
all through SNL.
Yes, I was just about to say.
He does my favorite, the game show. We're gonna talk about dun, dun, dun.
Wait, what?
Then he does his little dance, like, what's up with that?
Oh, yeah, 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 yes. Ooh-wee. Yes, 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 yes.
That is his best, in my opinion.
He's so funny.
He's great.
He's at the DNC.
Yeah, yeah, he was. He's such an awesome person. And it was really great to hear him open up in this style. He was just so, like, laid back in the interview.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about the interviews. Feels like you were just watching, like, a genuine conversation. Yeah. It didn't even feel, like, too scripted, or it was so raw.
Totally.
It was really, really awesome.
And then Raven Simone was also interviewed. She gave a lot of her personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Allison Stoner, who I love.
Ugh.
I would say they had a big part of this documentary. And the conversation between Allison and Demi was so eye-opening to me.
I know. Yeah, I absolutely adore Allison Stoner. I kind of rediscovered them in the last couple of years, actually. I think I missed them on the Disney Channel for the most part. I really remembered them from the Missy Elliott music video that was and like a few movies
step up
yeah. From Step Up.
Loved Step Up.
Oh my gosh, who didn't?
I was like, so I could good. Do that. I'm such a good dancer.
And they are such a good dancer.
Yeah, they are.
But yeah, I kind of rediscovered their Instagram, and I've seen them do some podcasts as well, and just heard them speak, and you can tell how much work they've done.
Yeah.
And they're just so open about their mental health.
Yes.
And just such a positive account. I really recommend giving them a follow, and great dancing clips as well.
What else? Okay, JoJo Siwa was in it. And what she had to say broke my heart. We'll get into that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christina Ricci as well. So we're going to talk about all of them here sporadically, but I kind of just wanted to, you know,
lay it out.
Yeah, lay it out. Exactly. At the beginning of the doc, Demi really talks about what it was like trying to balance acting and life outside of it, which obviously that's a huge theme for every, I would say, star in general. But especially kids, I think that adds a whole layer of complexity. And like I said, child stars, child actors haven't been that mainstream for that long. Like, it's a fairly new industry.
Yeah, especially at the scale it is now.
This broke my heart, but she was talking about, you know, how she got started and that she was doing all these interviews, but, you know, she was still a normal kid in high school and she was getting bullied so badly for doing these interviews. She talked about how at one point the popular girls, basically they made it a petition and they had other students sign it that encouraged her to end her life. She said that the popular girls would like write on the bathroom stalls.
Evil.
And call her like a whore and stuff. And yeah, that people were passing around this petition and signing it, which just
so
can't even imagine that. It's so sad. But yeah, her career really started taking off after she was cast as the main character, Mitchie, in Camp Rock. And yeah, like I said, I've never seen Camp Rock, but
you're missing out.
Know people who are really into Camp Rock.
Doesn't he go, Camp Rock?
Oh my god, it's so
Camp
good.
Camp Rock.
Yeah.
I used to practice dances.
Oh,
I love
it.
You guys are both big fans of Camp Rock, huh?
I was a big fan of Disney Channel around that time too. I loved Sunny with a Chance. It was like an improv show.
Sunny with a Chance?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
It was really, really good.
That's kind of when I think I stopped watching it because I didn't watch that. But yeah, Camp Rock 1 and 2, I was like literally my friends and I would have like just like certain nights when it would, you know, air. We all get together and like wait because we didn't have like the recording.
Right.
So we'd like have to sit and wait and like wait through all the commercials and all that kind of stuff. But
oh my God,
Disney Channel original movies?
Yep.
We did that too for like High School Musical.
Oh,
me and my friends.
See, God, I loved High School Musical.
I wasn't a High School Musical girl.
Mm-hmm. I was upset.
Dude, it's really funny now as an adult watching it. Josh and I watched it recently.
Why are you watching High School
Musical? Because we were like, let's show it to Holly. Just check it out.
Was she into it?
Yeah.
It's
like the so
music
good. And the dancing. Yeah.
I love those movies, okay?
They're good.
I think they're so good.
I love Zac Efron. Always
I
have,
love-
always will.
Love Zach. Zachy boy.
The Joe Bros are it for me.
I never really cared about
the Joe Bros.
Yeah.
I had a minute there. I went to their concert.
Oh,
did
wow.
you?
Yeah. Like recently or back in the day?
Oh, back in the day. It was like Fire Burning or whatever.
Burn it up for you, baby. One of my good friends is obsessed with the Jonas Brothers. And
Red
during
dress.
Her bachelorette,
and
we were like just
is,
playing
huh?
it over. Yeah. She was like, I want to listen to the Jonas Brothers. I'm like, okay.
The old we'll stuff or like the newer?
All of it. I don't know the difference.
Oh,
she's seen them 5 times in concert.
Oh my gosh.
She's obsessed.
Go off. Big fan.
Big
Does
fan.
She have a favorite Joe Bro?
I think Joe.
Of course.
It's never Kevin. Poor Kevin.
I think it's Joe.
Year 3000?
I say Joe's my
favorite
too.
Went to the year 3000.
God, there was a clip of Joe Jonas in the documentary. I had to rewind it like a couple times. He just looks so young. Like really long hair standing next to Demi.
Yeah.
Me and Josh kept going back and seeing, and they had like old video of Britney Spears and Ryan Gosling as well.
Anyways, when they were like filming all this, they talked about how that was like their high school experience because obviously they weren't in regular high school, and but they were all that age, so everyone was friends with each other. They called it Disney High. They were on like Disney High or whatever, and yeah, that was really like their high school experience. Mm-hmm. And when Allison and Demi were talking, they talked about how, you know, obviously they starred in Camp Rock together, but they were really like portrayed as best friends on the show, and they were really close in real life.
And at one point, there's even an interview of them talking about how we spend like every waking moment together and never get sick of each other, something along those lines.
And this is where I think they really started experiencing, you know, their first like taste of having that pressure on you, even as a kid, of like you have to be perfect. And they said that they were working 24/7 essentially, and they felt, you know, a lot of times that they didn't have control over their life. And unfortunately, that's what led to eating disorders for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I really appreciated them getting into that. Demi actually brought up a time where she was purging. She went to the bathroom and Allison followed and noticed that Demi was making herself throw up. And yeah, that really hit home for me because I also got caught doing that one time, actually by Josh. And I'm really glad that happened because that's like how I was able to start working on it.
Yeah.
Like I've said before, I think it's something that kind of always, it's always a struggle. Like I don't still, I mean, I'll be honest, there's been years before I got pregnant, I was still struggling with it and sometimes actively doing it. And I like lied about that to most people in my life. But even to this day, I have like moments where I think about it or the urge like comes up.
Yeah.
So it's like, I really always, it's like not a very glamorous thing to talk about. It can be like pretty embarrassing to talk about purging.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate when people open up about that because it seems fairly rare from what I've noticed. I haven't heard that many people sharing their experiences with it because Allison had also struggled with it. So, you know, they were kind of able to see it in Demi, and I'm glad that she had that, you know, experience to sort of open the door and maybe get some help at that point.
And
she obviously struggled for a lot longer after that, but
I feel like anyone with a fault, like you included, I think it's so important to talk about. And obviously, you know, you don't owe anyone anything, but if you're comfortable doing that, I think that's so powerful because, like you said, you know, you may not actively be participating in that right now, but that doesn't mean that you don't still struggle with that on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there are so many people out there who, you know, maybe aren't actively purging at this moment, but are still, you know, dealing with it on a daily basis and just body image issues in general.
Yeah.
and it needs to be talked about more.
It really does, because it's so helpful to hear about it from other people, you know, just on really any topic, hearing someone's similar story and being raw about it. Because, yeah, for a while, like there was a point where I made a YouTube video talking about my eating disorder. And I had said, you know, I'm better now. I've like gone through recovery and stuff. So I always felt like, okay, it's done now. And I can never, like, if I bring up that it's like I struggled after that point, then people will be like, what the fuck, you were lying, or like mad at me or disappointed in me.
No.
But I've realized, like, yeah, it's just something that kind of always stays with you, or at least in my experience. So yeah, I think it's just, it's nice. So many people suffer in silence from these things, eating disorders especially, but yeah, so many other things. So hearing someone else talk about it openly is just extremely helpful. Like, I think so much value out of it.
Especially, I think, people who are looked at as like stars.
Yeah.
Because so many people look at, and I think it's changing more so recently, but for a long time, I think people looked at famous people as just like, you have it all. Yeah. You have the fame, you have the money, everyone loves you.
Yeah.
You know, how could anything be wrong? Like, you can't, what do you mean you struggle with depression or with eating disorder, whatever it is?
Or you're acting out, like the way the media judged all these teen stars for doing these things. And it's like, really? Really? You have no place of sympathy considering what they go through. And maybe it's just a lack of understanding. But I think it's how you explain, like, people think, well, you have everything you possibly want, so you need to be perfect.
Yeah.
Snap up.
Right.
The fuck?
Mental health doesn't discriminate.
Yeah. No.
They talked about, now, this made me so sad. So they talked about how they would go to photo shoots, you know, whatever. And then they would see their pictures afterwards and they were edited perfectly and they had no flaws, not a single wrinkle, not a single freckle, nothing. Everything was perfect. And they were like, oh, okay. So, you know, when it came to the next photo shoot, they would know in their head like, oh, well, the so-and-so is going to be editing it out and making sure I look perfect. But then if they look in the mirror and see how they quote unquote really look.
Yeah.
And then they start to see those imperfections, or they'll be like, oh, you know, my bags are gone in that picture. I didn't even notice that I had bags and I didn't know that that was a bad thing.
It's kind of like when you look at one of those filters on TikTok, like the glam filters and stuff, and you like start noticing like, oh God, I didn't even notice my nose has this slight bump or like this crease or whatever. And then you take off the filter and you're like, holy shit. Yeah, that was interesting. They also talked about too how, you know, just seeing footage of themselves. They were filming and thinking they looked a certain way, and then they would see it back and they were like super self-critical on themselves, which I feel like that's just so traumatizing too.
I have definitely like noticed that in myself, watching old footage
and, oh my God,
and like
me
comparing
too.
Myself how I look now.
Me too.
And I feel like most people, like, I'll talk to you guys about like my insecurities and you guys are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And so it's like, so much of it is in your head, but I totally can sympathize with them. And I think anyone can, whether or not you're like have an online presence or not. Any old picture of you, you look back and you're like, God, I was so much this, or I was whatever. And it's just like, I think that's such a flaw and a con of living in the present time that we do now, and just having the accessibility to take a picture of everything that you could possibly want to take your picture of at any point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have this whole digital scrapbook essentially to look back on your entire life. And I think that's awesome for a lot of reasons, obviously, but I think it is also really damaging.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was damaging.
What?
Last night, I discovered that Instagram has that feature where you can go back and see, like, on this day or like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, did you see what I had posted?
Yeah.
There was much worse too. Let me just say, I like had a picture of my feet at one point in heels and my favorite nail polish. I was like, this is my nail polish of the month. And then I took a picture of just a Bath and Body Works candle and it was on my grid.
Oh, and then but that was like the thing to do
with
Instagram.
I would post like 8 grid posts a day of just like anything I saw.
Yeah.
My feet in a cat onesie. Yeah, you should overlay it, Curly. I literally, it says like hashtag chillin', but I spelled it chillin'.
Yeah.
Chillin'.
Chillin'.
Yep. And then I had like a picture of me and Josh, and it's like hashtag romance.
Oh, that's amazing.
Sometimes I'm glad that stuff exists though, because it's funny to look back on.
Yeah.
It reminds me, I need to go back and like archive all of my old.
I know. I was like, God, what is on there?
Oh, I did that. Like 2 years ago. I was like, I'm going to get rid of the cringe, because I had like some, nothing bad, but just like stupid shit. Like, one time I gathered up all the lipsticks in my car and like took a picture of me holding all of them. And I was like, think I have enough lipsticks. LOL. Hashtag lipsticks. Hashtag pink. Hashtag red. Hashtag Revlon. I'm like, okay.
It's we so all funny. Did that.
See, I don't want to delete that though, because it's so fucking funny to look back on.
It is
on.
Funny.
I'm like, I need
maybe
this
I archived
to stay.
It. I can't remember.
Anyways. Oh, you can archive it? Like, just make
can
it private?
You? I think. Yeah, you can archive.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. We saw a Facebook post popped up that was like me to Janelle the other day. And what I call you a freak?
It's like, hey, freak. Oh, I always send, because there's always like, yeah. 10 years ago, you were doing this, whatever. And yeah. Oh my God, the cringe exists like on Facebook. Of you and I talking on each other's walls, being like, hey, freak, give me a call back. And I'm like, LOL, no, loser, I'm busy. And I'll be like, ah, just kidding. Okay, calling now.
See, I love it. I wish I could get even further back and get to my MySpace.
MySpace. Mm. I know.
This episode of The Sesh is brought to you by Squarespace. From thoughtful conversations about mental health to commentary on culture, sharing ideas online takes a clear home. Squarespace gives you everything needed to offer services and get paid in one place. With customizable websites, professional invoices, online payments, appointment scheduling, and email marketing tools. With Squarespace email campaigns, all the tools needed to engage clients, promote services, and grow your business are built in, including automations and beautifully designed templates. Build a polished online presence that fits your style with Blueprint AI or award-winning templates. Review website traffic and revenue with built-in analytics, so smarter decisions are easier. Head to squarespace.com/launch for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code LAUNC to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
So Demi and Allison's relationship, their friendship, really had a shift at some point after Camp Rock 1, specifically, when Demi's career was really starting to explode and they felt like a shift in the power dynamic in Camp Rock 2. And Demi said she originally felt validated because she had been leveled up. But with this level, it came with an expense of her relationships with the cast. And Allison talked a lot about how they felt like they were walking on eggshells with Demi, like yeah. Things just like completely changed. And it seemed, and I appreciated that they were all very open about this. And Allison even was like, my heart's racing. Yeah. Like, you can tell it was hard for them to talk about it, but it was cool for them to kind of like rehash some of these things. And Raven too definitely had some
things to say.
She was a little feisty with Demi in the beginning. Yeah. So it was interesting.
I mean, she gave like a really genuine apology.
She did.
Demi did have the reputation of being harder to work with. She talks about it mostly in her old documentaries, mm-hmm. Where she was like struggling with health issues and like substance abuse, mm-hmm. especially during the height of her career, which is, you know, Camp Rock and stuff. And
right.
I think she had a lot of bridges to rebuild.
Definitely. And the amount of pressure that she had on being successful, I truly cannot imagine, especially at a young age, what that would do. And she talked about how there were periods of time and entire projects that she was working on that she just has no recollection of, that she was completely disassociated from. And that just like broke my heart.
One example of that they brought up was with Raven, because mm-hmm. Raven was like, I had seen you later after I was on Sunny with a Chance and I'd already worked with you, and Demi was acting like she had just met her for yep. the first time. And I think Raven was like offended by it at the time, but she explained to her in the documentary that it was like one of my blacked out periods yeah. or I just don't remember it.
Yep.
I think she referred to it as like disassociation,
yeah.
like a mental, I think, illness that she had too.
Yeah.
Raven even mentioned, she's like, I, like, my heart broke for you because I noticed that, like, that glazed over look in your eyes.
Yeah.
And she's like, I've seen that so many times and very familiar with what that means.
Yep. One thing that Allison talked about that blew my mind was that she talked about how there's research that shows that famous people have an average lifespan of 14 years shorter.
Dude, that
than non-famous people due to mental health struggles.
My mind too.
And that they're 4 times more likely to end their lives.
Mm-hmm. And then when they started showing examples and mm-hmm. brought up, oh, heartbreaking, dude. That's really, really scary.
And it shows that fame is addictive in the same way that drugs and alcohol are, or substances are, which surprised me, but also makes sense. Then it's like, okay, so if that's the case and fame is really that addictive, then why are we allowing kids to essentially become addicted to this drug? Yeah.
That was so interesting to listen to them talking about how it has left this hole where they feel like they're not as successful as they were, that they like peaked as kids. So they're constantly seeking validation, constantly having issues with self-worth and insecurity because they feel like they just aren't as successful anymore. And that really gets to you. And when you get all of your success or your validation from praise and numbers yep. and money as well, and that starts to dwindle, it fucks you up and it makes total sense. And I thought it was really interesting to talk about fame as an addictive thing. I feel like I've definitely experienced that, obviously on a much smaller level, but that's just how I explained recently that I used to be like so obsessed yep. with my subscriber numbers and view counts. I was so obsessed with the numbers to where I was like making quotas for myself. I have to hit 50 subscribers a day. And, you know, we brought up with Mr. Beast that clearly he's addicted to it. You know,
100%.
It's like, I think so many creators experience that as well. And I'm really thankful that with therapy and like time where I've just kind of grown out of it. And that's just been my personal experience. No hate to anyone who, you know, still is like really, I know JoJo talked about how she's still like really, and I get it. Like it's hard to break that cycle. But God, getting to a point where I don't look at that anymore and like yeah. never think about it has been the best thing for my mental health because it is addictive. Of course it is. The high of it all, you know, at chasing that next part.
And I think that people can relate to this in a lot of ways, like playing sports and being really yeah. being the best at it and getting all this praise from your coach, your parents or whatever it is,
yeah.
or, you know, being the best actor at your school mm-hmm. or, you know, being really good at something and getting public notice, whatever yeah. that looks like.
Yeah. Validation and praise.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's not addictive. Just like fame. It's, you know, success. It's praise, accolades, you know, yeah. all those things can be addicting.
Totally. So then there's a part here where Kenan Thompson is talking about his experiences. And like Kendall said, I just love him. He was so laid back. He had his sunglasses on, like chilling at some random like diner.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wanted to mention this one part specifically that both him and Allison talked about. So he talks about this one time where his mom met this dude who was supposed to be a tax accountant and help him, you know, with finances, and especially when he was starting to get, you know, a lot of money. And it turns out that he was a total con artist and ended up running away with most of his money that he earned. So he found this out because he was going to go buy his first home, which I just felt so bad for him during this because he's talking, he's like, oh, I was so excited. I was going to go buy my first home and I'm waiting for this, my tax accountant to show up with the check to the real estate office. And he never showed up.
Yeah.
And then
completely stole from him.
He went from rags to riches to back to rags is how he described it. And I mm-hmm. just am like, that is so evil, especially as a kid. You're making all this money. You're finally old enough to buy your own house and, you know, use all your hard-earned cash that you, you know, worked so hard for. And then some fucker steals it.
And not only worked hard for, but sacrificed your whole child yes. for. Like, went yeah. through all of this trauma, all this bullshit, and for nothing in the end. It's the same with, you know, Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah.
This, you know, going through all those years thinking like, oh, this is going to set me up for my adulthood. Yeah. And then it's fucking gone. Someone spent it all. And Allison Stoner had a similar experience. They were on tour and trying to pay one of the dancers that they had hired to go with her on the tour. And then the check bounced. And they were like, how is that possible? I never spend money. What the fuck? And it turns out people in their inner circle were spending their money. Then there was also several interviews with Christina Ricci, which she is most well known for the Addams Family, I would say. She's Wednesday Addams, an iconic character. I've actually never seen the Addams Family, so I don't really know, but I've heard a lot about it. Then she was also in Casper in 1995, but she started in the movie Mermaids at only 9 years old, and that came out in 1990. And she said that being a child actor was an escape from her childhood. And Drew Barrymore said something kind of similar, that her life before that was like kind of sad and a constant struggle. And so being around all these people, she was less lonely. And yeah. so there were like some positive parts about it when she first got into it.
Yeah.
But Christina talked about how she had a very chaotic home. Her father was a failed cult leader.
Just crazy.
I know. And so he had all that same sort of like crazy narcissism that goes along with someone wanting to run a cult, obviously. And he was very physically violent. And she said that there was never any peace in her house. She said while she never had peace in her house, she was able, like we said, to find some peace on set. And then one thing that she brought up that was really interesting, too, is that when you're working, obviously, you're always thinking about what's my next role going to be? What's my next job going to be? And she said the easier that you are to work with and your parents are to work with, the more callbacks you're going to get. So you want to just...
Makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
If you're with... Your mom is some crazy nightmare to yeah. work with. Because at the end of the day, they're not 18, so they can't sign off on shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would I want to work with this kid? Because the parents are a total nightmare.
Yeah. And it's like, those are probably just parents, for the most part, parents being good parents. Sure. But they're difficult to work with. And so obviously, as a producer who's spending money on it, they're like, that's a pain in my ass. I can find someone else easily. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, that was interesting. That's something that we went over a lot in Quiet on Set as well. Mm-hmm. The parents that started to push back, some kids actually lost their opportunities because their parent was trying to protect them.
Yep. And then Drew Barrymore came in and talked a lot about how, you know, she came, her family had, like, her grandparents were actors and her great grandparents were actors. So mm-hmm. she was kind of like born into this world, I guess you could say.
Even her dad, John Barrymore.
Yep.
He was in quite a few films.
Her first acting job was at 11 months old in a Gainsburg puppy chow commercial. 11 months, which obviously this is where it's confusing to me. And I like can't really form a full opinion because I think that obviously you need, like, for a Huggies commercial, there's
put
baby
in diapers.
Right, exactly. Right. So it's like,
and it's, I don't know. It's, I agree. It's such a struggle because it's obviously helping a lot of families out there that, but what is it worth it? Like, I would never, I don't care what I was offered. I would never want my child. I think it's all like hit me differently now that I'm a mother watching this. And that's why I got so emotional last night, because I just can't imagine stealing her childhood like that.
But
like,
I don't really blame people who chose to do that as well.
I don't either. In all cases, I think I have some sympathy there, especially back then without knowing the effects of it, you know? But it really hit me when Raven was talking about it too, saying that she was working, I think, from 18 months old. And to not have a single memory in your life where you weren't already working, mm-hmm. have no experience where you were not a working human.
Yeah.
Is fucking insane to me.
No, it is.
Like, it just, I don't know. I would never put my child through that. And I look at her just being a kid, playing with her Paw Patrols and going, you know, doing little things with her, and just thinking like a lot of these kids probably never had that because they were constantly rehearsing, constantly preparing for the next thing. Mm-hmm. It's just heartbreaking, dude.
Yeah. And then she was in E.T. Mm-hmm. And have you seen E.T.?
Oh, yeah.
It's cute.
You've seen E.T.?
I've seen E.T. Yeah.
It is cute. It used to scare me a little bit.
Yeah, same. But she said that completely changed her life because Steven Spielberg was the producer and the director of the film. And she kind of talked about how, you know, her dad wasn't really in her life. And so he really kind of took that place. And she really wanted to please him and to be well behaved around him. And, you know, kind of felt like he was playing that father figure
for a really long time, too. I mean, still.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she talked about her relationship with her mother. And this mm-hmm. blew my mind. She said that she was partying with her mom, like, young.
Yeah.
She said by 8 years old, she was going out with her mom up to 5 nights a week. When she was 9, she was seen with her mom at a famous nightclub in New York where she was exposed to, obviously, like, drugs and encouraged to dance.
How is she getting in?
Probably because it's... the laws weren't like they are now.
Yeah.
You can just kind of, like, do whatever you want back then.
That's crazy. Imagine going to the club and seeing a 9-year-old there.
I know.
Holy shit.
She said that's when she first started drinking, was when she was, like, 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And then when she was 10, she would, like, smoke weed with her mom's friend.
I know.
They would get high together, and she thought that, you know, the friend was so cool.
Dude, that's so crazy for your brain development and everything too. Oh, I can't imagine smoking weed at 10.
Mm-hmm.
By 13.
I didn't even know what weed was when I was 10.
No, me either.
By 13, she was already like snorting cocaine.
Yeah. So mind blowing. I really never knew a lot about her and her past. I've always thought she's lovely and I really enjoy listening to her, but I had never heard a lot of her story.
Yeah.
There's a clip of a really young Drew, and it's her with like the filmmakers of some movie or something, and they're like, get this girl an apple juice, and she's like, I'm a Barrymore, get me a this and make it a double.
Yeah,
and I'm sure people back then who like saw that or people around her thought it was just like a funny little joke she was making, and she's just so mature for her age, but like in reality,
and also
that's actually,
think about
what
it, it's easier for them to manipulate her when she's intoxicated that young.
She was actually institutionalized mm-hmm. for 18 months, and she obviously didn't have an understanding of why that was happening. Mm-hmm. And now she's, you know, as she's grown up, she said that she totally understands why her mom made that decision, because obviously her mom probably, you know, didn't know what else to do.
It's like,
And that probably saved her life in a lot of ways.
Your fault, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, I'm grateful that that happened.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, she talked about how she has a 10-year-old now, and it's just wild to think about what her life was when she was 10 years old versus having a 10-year-old daughter, and, you know, how innocent they should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just crazy. God, I literally cannot imagine partying like that at that age.
No. Mm-hmm.
But you're like around adults and you're working all the time. And someone, I believe it was Demi, said in there something along the lines of like, if you're going to treat me like an adult, I'm going to party like an adult. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, her. I understand that mindset.
Yeah. Okay, another person that we needed to discuss is JoJo Siwa, because she had some very interesting points. Mm-hmm. She opens up about how one thing that was kind of unique about her was that she was a character on all these toys. Like, okay, take SpongeBob. SpongeBob's on different toys and shirts. Yeah, yeah, and
it's a whole
right.
franchise industry.
Exactly. But SpongeBob isn't an actual person.
Right.
Whereas like JoJo and Hannah Montana, even Hannah Montana is like a little bit different because Hannah Montana is not a real person. Obviously, Miley Cyrus, you know, got pulled into that as well. But JoJo wasn't playing a character. She was just JoJo.
Yeah,
from
they actually
the start.
Used the Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana, you know, comparison.
Yeah.
I think it is totally different, even though it's different than a SpongeBob.
Right.
You know, it is a different character that like Disney Channel owned the character
exactly.
in the show and put her, and it wasn't ever her. You know, that yeah. became clear as we saw more and more of her. And now she's just one of my favorite people in the world.
I love Miley. But yeah, JoJo was always JoJo.
Yeah.
And they like sold everything. JoJo. She basically sold herself.
Dude, the amount of merchandise, and we've gone over that before on the show as well, like the games and the lunch boxes, the cups, the scrunchies, the bows.
Yep.
Endless amounts of merch.
Yep. Endless, truly. Like she was on everything.
Working with like every major retailer, Target, Walmart, you name it.
Yep. Ice cream.
Yeah, literally.
Yep. JoJo ice cream.
Yeah. Okay, so she talks about how when she turned 17, she's like, I don't really want to do this, you know, in the way that I've been doing it anymore. I want to like branch out and, you know, change and become, you know, a 17-year-old. Obviously, I'm not a little kid anymore. And at one point, she talks about how she was on like FaceTime with her girlfriend. And this was before anyone knew that she was dating a female. And she decided, like, I'm just going to post a story of myself singing to Lady Gaga's Born This Way.
Yeah.
So she like films herself, posts it, goes to bed and wakes up. And it like completely blew up.
Dude, I remember that so well. Like it was everywhere.
Yeah.
It was on all the tabloids. It was major news. Mm-hmm. I got like news alerts to my phone.
Yeah. Yep. And so they're like, oh my God, JoJo came out, all this shit. And I think like a lot of the public was pretty supportive of it. But obviously Nickelodeon was like, oh my God, our golden child is gay now.
Yeah.
And
even her own manager called her and was like pissed. Was like, why did you just do that? And didn't even give us a heads up.
And she was like, what do you mean do what?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like she, because she was like, what do you want me to do? Like, post a video of me making out with my girlfriend? Like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Why is this decision anything you should be part of? And it's not that big of a deal.
And apparently
it was.
Nickelodeon was like, you need to call up all of, you know.
The manager.
The manager was like, you need to call up, you know, Walmart, JCPenney, whatever. All the retailers and be like, basically she said, convince them that I'm not going crazy.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, that
going
is so
crazy.
Sad to think about, because you posted a thing and I don't even think she was like, I'm gay, but she just obviously like people took
to it
as like, okay, she's coming out.
Yeah.
Which even if she said I'm gay, who cares? But the fact that they're like, oh, you know, she's like, loose cannon now.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Reassure. You need to, as a teenager, get on the call with all of these corporations and try to convince them that, you're not going crazy. But she said even after she did that, they all treated her differently.
Yep.
Everything changed for her.
She said Nickelodeon basically ghosted her. They didn't invite her to the Kids' Choice Awards, which is something that she was regularly like a big part of.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, sorry, it was just like a quote, honest
oversight.
Mistake.
Yeah. We forgot to invite you.
Yeah,
fucking
right.
Dude. Okay. Interesting timing.
So.
Yeah. She had posted a video back then saying like, a lot of you are asking where I am.
Yeah.
And
I just didn't get an invite.
She just keeps it like pretty classy with that. Like she doesn't like to get into like fights with people, it seems. But that was pretty clear. Very hurt from that. I would have been too.
It's totally. Yeah. It's so fucked up. And like, I think her coming out was great because...
Oh my gosh, yeah.
She was the first, really like the first child star that is still a child star.
Yeah.
To come out and talk about a great role model for other kids her age,
yeah,
who are, you know, talk like questioning their sexuality or are gay and haven't come out yet, to be able to see someone like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have, that's amazing.
I know.
And the fact that it wasn't celebrated is so disappointing.
I know. And it's like, especially for the time that it happened. What year was that? Like 20...
Wasn't that long ago.
A couple years. So you would think that by then we'd be further in society.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe she thought we were and that it wasn't that big of a deal. Apparently it still fucking is, which is so insane.
Yeah.
One thing that she brought up that I thought was really interesting was the Snapchat thing.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
2021 is when Born This Way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, she posts 2 to 300.
Yeah, she posts 2 to 300 Snapchats per day.
Yep.
Which I cannot imagine doing this. I'm sure it's a deal with Snapchat because we know they have these deals. They had it with Austin McBroom and like several other creators. I think Bryce Hall's big on there and some other Dobrik is on there.
Yeah.
Oh, they
yeah.
have these like huge requirements of numbers.
Yep.
Think about, okay, to anybody out there, can you imagine waking up and your first thought is, all right, what's my first out of my next 200 to 300 posts I'm going to make today? And how am I going to make them all interesting on top of that? So JoJo takes like pictures in her bed. Like
yeah.
when she first opens her eyes, that's the, it never ends. Dude, I can't tell you, there is no amount of money that would ever make me want to expose that much of my personal life and to have that pressure constantly, like, check out my workout, check out what I'm drinking, check out what I'm eating, look at my dog's poop. Like, what the fuck? That's so much pressure and so insane. And I can't imagine any human that cannot be good for you. And she talked about, you know, the obsession with numbers and subscribers and how you can totally fall into that. And I hope that maybe she's been able to kind of pull away from that because it is so addicting. Like I said earlier, I definitely have been down that obsession road before. And it really can be super, super addictive and dangerous, horrible for your mental health. Oh my God, tracking all of your performance on every little thing and her talking about like if her TikToks didn't get a certain amount of views and this and that and like so many creators.
Yep.
And actors too, actresses, anyone like in this space deals with that pressure of like, I've always got a one up. I can't, yep. you know, I'm falling off, you know, it's horrible. It can be horrible if you really go down that. I appreciated her opening up about that.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like she likes doing the Snapchats. I don't know. Like, I know she's big on TikTok too. And
yeah.
She's seen, like, on the, from the outside as a viewer, and I guess that's how
she's explaining, she wants
it to be
though.
Seen that she's enjoying it and having fun, not like miserable. But I wonder, like, I just can't imagine that doing anything good for you, especially at such a young.
But if you're just like having a bad day.
Exactly. Like, how do you do that?
Too bad. And you can't, like, people are watching you because you're fun and upbeat and like yeah. chirpy. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be like, hi, this is my breakfast of the day. I'm fucking pissed off and having a terrible day. Like, what is that going to do other than make people talk about you even more?
Yeah.
Like, people watch you because you have a quote unquote really fun life to yeah. watch.
For us, it'd be like, back pain. Look at my heat pad.
Back pain. Kendall and I, actually, like, everyone's back here is
yeah.
like fucked up for some reason.
You said you were going to share the heat pad with me. I haven't gotten it once.
You literally started with it.
Yeah. Like before the show even started, no, you can have it.
No, it, no I'm like I'll do getting too hot. You. In fact, I think it turned off.
Yeah, I think it did turn off. I would love to have a churn though. Thank you.
You can so have it.
Much.
I want ice.
I know.
Ice really feels need ice. Really good.
We need ice packs here.
We should get an ice bath.
Ooh.
Cold plunge. Just kidding. I ain't never doing that in my life.
They say that if I heard someone random and like, don't quote me on this because there's just some fucking guy on Instagram reels, but he was talking about how it's like a similar high to cocaine.
To an ice bath?
Yeah. When you're trying to sell it out, he's like, it's like just the same, the endorphins.
And all right,
like,
dude.
Really?
Really?
And I asked my friend who does ice baths and he was like, no, it does not.
I can't imagine it being mm-mm. like cocaine.
It is supposed to be really good for you though, but I could never.
I could never. Yeah.
Some people do it after they work out too, or yep. maybe like before. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. You're all like heated. You're like extra warm then. And then to get into that.
It's really, like, it's supposed to be
torture.
Really good for your metabolism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be good for a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm. Your yeah. sleep and everything.
Kinda, I could see Josh, like, will come home one day and he'll have one, I bet.
He would never use it.
No, he would get it and then it would sit there.
Yeah. Your whole house is like an ice bath, as it is.
Oh, yeah, just the temperature?
Yeah.
yeah. God, and we're starting to hit that season where I'm starting to get cold at night. My feet are cold and the car is cold. And I'm like, listen, I ain't doing this entire season. Because he's the type of guy who wants to run the AC in like December.
I know.
It's horrible.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't come in here and yell at us for the AC. It's because he's not in this room.
Yeah. Yeah. He probably doesn't know. He's got his little fan in his office.
Yes, yeah.
Anyway. And then Raven Simone's part was also very interesting. Just how acting, you know, became a job for her so very young. There's that clip with her dad where he's like, and why do we do this? Because it's a job.
Right.
This is how we make money. And she's just like, And she was so cute. What was her character's name? Trudy? Rudy? Rudy, I think, on the Cosby show.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. I always loved her on that. But yeah, there's this clip of her from an interview in 1990 where she is only 4 years old. Go ahead and watch it.
Fun, but it's also a job. Yeah. And she does this to get what?
Paid.
Exactly.
Her little smile at the end.
To seriously not have a single moment of your life where you were not working that you can actually remember is so fucked up.
So at one point, Raven talks about how her family called this a family business.
Yeah, when it was all her.
When it's, I mean, she's the one that's all the talent and is really making the money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they called it a family business to try and, you know, I think essentially like justify it.
Yeah.
Obviously read between the lines of that, but
Raven also talked about coming out and stuff and what that was like for her. It was good for her to open up. It was a great interview with her too. Yeah. Which I've said a few times, I'm not like the biggest Raven Simone fan because I didn't really like her on The View, but like I loved That So Raven. And
such a good show.
She's a funny person.
Yeah.
I'll give her that.
So the documentary kind of ends off talking about, you know, child stars beyond just the traditional sense of, you know, media like TV and movies. And obviously millennials, for the most part, were watching Disney Channel and Nickelodeon and that type of stuff. But now the younger generation, it's all about TikTok and YouTube and Instagram, you know, whatever, especially YouTube. And that kids are just obsessed with watching other kids on YouTube. And this is where it gets definitely more of a gray area because the laws around kids on social media are so much different than traditional media.
As in there's really nothing.
As in there's not a whole lot at all.
And it doesn't seem like there seems to be much progress being made. Like not a few little things, but so much work has to be done.
Yep.
Not only by the government, but also I think the platforms have responsibility to start doing something about this. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, for instance, I talked about Ryan from Ryan's World or Ryan's Toy Reviews.
Ryan,
He started his channel at three.
Three.
And is now one of the top paid creators on YouTube in the world. And he's 12 years old.
Yeah. How insane is that? The pressure, like... he's going to have to deal with as he gets older and that some of that goes away. I mean, maybe it'll only be a good thing for him. Let's hope.
God.
But yeah. Just right from the beginning. It's crazy how he has all these fans and stuff. That cannot be good for you mentally to have fans at three.
And which Kendall and I have mentioned this, but kids are filming in their house. And therefore, it's like there's no getting off the set and going home.
No.
The set is your home.
Your parents are the directors.
Your parents
and
are
employers, kind of.
Yes. So it's like there's no turning it off for a lot of them. Mm-hmm. The camera is right there at someone's, you know, within arm reach at all times. And you can just turn it on and start recording whenever. And a lot of times kids don't really have the say of like, no, I'm not interested in recording today. You know, it's like, why not just get a 10-minute clip and it can go viral.
Yep. And then to add that pressure of like, if you don't, our family could struggle financially.
Yep.
And then there's no regulation on how to make sure that they actually get paid for this work.
Yep.
Nothing.
Yep. Because obviously the Coogan Law is in for child actors and stuff and child stars, but not really for social media. Like there's some legislation that's starting to be passed, like something in
certain states,
Illinois, but like overall there's nothing that is truly protecting all kids, and it's such a gray area.
It's crazy that it doesn't seem to be an urgent issue the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know, this is especially what they talked about in the documentary, how the it's a I can't remember exactly multi-billion-dollar industry, I think were the words they used, the content creator industry.
Yeah.
And they actually showed like a little graph compared to child stars.
Yeah, there's over
just TV and movies.
50 million content creators worldwide. And the industry is said to be worth over $500 billion dollars in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Trillion.
God, that's so insane.
I know.
And just how many of those kids in the beginning were saying they want to be that? Like, it's only going to grow so much. Oh, there was one woman in the documentary, can't remember exactly who she was or her name or her role, but she was speaking. She was one of the people who was working towards getting laws passed. But she said it really hit her when her daughter, she like walked in, her daughter was doing a fake makeup tutorial. I'm sure so many parents experience that. I'm sure most kids sit there and like pretend they're doing their makeup routine and blah, 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 blah.
But she's like, my kid was like and subscribe.
Yep. Like and subscribe. Dude, I am dreading my child growing up in this time. I wish she could grow up in when we were kids.
PBS.
It was so different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there are activists like Chris McCarty, who I believe we've spoken about, also Washington State Representative Christine Reeves, who are working and, you know, to advocate for bills that aim to ensure that kids who are heavily featured, you know, online have the right to compensation for their work. Yeah, actually in 2023, so just a little over a year ago.
Yeah, we've spoken about this before.
Yeah, Illinois was the first state to pass something that ensures kids who are on social media get paid for their work.
I just wonder how do they, like, how you manage that and, like,
yeah, it's very complicated. Like,
yeah, that'd be really hard.
Yeah. I really hope the YouTube team is at least having conversations about ways they can do that through the platform.
Yeah.
It's just, it really is such an urgent issue. Like, something needs to be done about this very quickly.
But, like, how do you prove how much a kid is working? Because, again, there's no...
It's all edited, too.
That's what I'm saying is, like, there isn't a way to... You're not clocking in and clocking out. Oh, I was on set from this time to this time. It's like, I'm at home with my parents. My parents are filming me, and maybe they film me for 3 hours. Only 20 minutes of it makes it in and ends up being published.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I wasn't working that other time that just, you know, that... airtime didn't end up happening or whatever.
And there's probably other expenses associated with producing the content, like whether you're hiring an editor or someone in the family is the one editing it. Like, how do they?
So how do you?
It's very complicated. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah.
But I mean, something's got to happen here.
Yeah.
So many kids are going to end up fucked up. And we're already seeing the results of it. We've talked about it several times on the show. Just like not only financially, but mentally. And, you know, it's horrible. Completely unregulated.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's really scary. Something will have to happen.
And then TikTok now, too.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, and then there's like this pressure post more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That I think our generation and the generations above us, we were really like the last ones to not have that growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we didn't have social media when we were, you know, kids.
No.
Yeah. I mean, we had MySpace, but we were like.
But we were like in middle school by then.
Yeah.
And there wasn't like
a
5-year-old Janelle running around watching YouTube or TikTok and seeing like all these creators posting 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know. I mean, Holly watches like Miss Rachel and Mika and Blippi, and there's tons of kids channels now too. So you're starting like really young.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great stuff. I mean, Miss Rachel, credit a lot to her. She helped Holly learn to sign and speak. And like, I know she's helpful for so many parents. But yeah, kids are like exposed to it like out the gate. I mean, it's just a new world.
Yep.
I saw a statistic. I forgot where I saw it, but kids nowadays stream on YouTube more than any other platform
I believe
ever.
Wow. Like, kids are just watching YouTube more than any, which makes sense because it's instantaneous, it's portable, and there's like that community.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Like the comments and whatever. So it's insane. So yeah, that's kind of an overview of it. Like we said, highly recommend watching if you are looking for more information and just to kind of hear from them personally. But it was very well done. And I'm glad that it's continuing to be a conversation because I just think, I think this is just going to become more and more of a mainstream topic that people are speaking about.
I also wanted to bring up something that I don't know. Did any of you guys see the recent interview on from People magazine with Hayden Panettiere?
Yeah,
I did. I watched it when you said
yeah, it's incredibly sad. It should not have been posted. No. People is seriously fucked up for posting it. We're definitely not going to be playing it. I think they may have removed it. I'm not really sure. I didn't follow it completely. But yeah, Hayden Panettiere. She was in a bunch of stuff. I always loved her growing up.
I've never heard of
her.
You've
probably seen her.
Oh my God, I loved her. She was in
she was in Cheaper by the Dozen.
No, that was Alison Stoner.
Oh, yeah. But and Hilary Duff was in that,
the
too.
The cheerleading movie.
Oh, Bring It On. Her. Yes. I would say she's like a child actor, too.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
She was in that movie as a little girl. Like, her dad was a football coach or something.
In the Middle
of the Titans.
Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where's Frankie Muniz nowadays? Speaking of Malcolm in the Middle, I wonder what his child star experience was like.
Oh, I'm sure it was crazy.
I loved Frankie Muniz.
What is he doing? He's a race car driver.
Oh, what? Go off, Frankie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on NASCAR.
Yeah, he's the best. Big Fat Liar. He was with Amanda Bynes.
Agent Cody Banks.
But yeah, this interview was just so sad to see, and I really can't believe it was even posted. It's in such poor taste, but. I don't know if you saw it, Janelle, but she says that she was tired. She was dealing with her sick dog. And so she was sleep deprived, but she's had a history of substance abuse, specifically alcohol. And I'm not sure what else, but she's been open about that. I'm sure being in the film industry played a part in that, but it was also because her brother had passed away and that really sent her into a spiral. And then at one point she had like lost custody of her child and just kind of had to sign the documents over. And she's been pretty open about it. But she did this interview and when I first watched it, and I'm not going to just make an assumption, and the general consensus from everyone in comments and articles was that, like, clearly there's something's going on. She did not seem like in her right mind, but she is saying that she was just tired. So that's quite possible. Either way, no matter what it was, it should not have been posted. It was like in such poor taste. And I feel like people just consistently does this.
Public interview?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Like, why would it not have been posted?
Because she was not right. It should not have been posted because
it makes her look like she's drunk or something.
So do you think they were posting it for that reason mostly?
I'm sure there was a contract to post it. And it was a cover shoot deal that she did with them.
Okay.
But she had asked to reschedule the interview and they were like, no need, according to her.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, people have been like up in arms with People magazine for even posting it, but
it's still up.
Is it?
Yeah.
God,
she said she didn't sleep for 2 days prior to the shoot.
Yeah.
And then
that's so sad.
Yeah, it was an 8-hour shoot followed by an on-camera interview, so she did 8 hours before that interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so like, if she very well could have just been exhausted.
Yeah,
I mean, so there's no proof that she was on. It's just, I didn't know that information at first. And like, when I first saw it, knowing her history, I was like, oh my God, this, like, she's clearly really struggling with something. She did say, grief looks different on everyone. Whether or not I'm on medication is none of anyone's business and is between me and my doctor. I am doing interviews to promote my new film because I'm proud of it. The real issue here is the toxicity of social media and the news cycle that is driven by clickbait.
Yeah.
Mental health is so important. And I hope those reading now understand that what you say and hiding behind your computer screen have a detrimental impact on someone. The comments on these were most of the comments, I will say, were like, shame on people. This should never, like, we love Hayden. This is so mean to post this. But there were a lot of people that were just like, oh, typical.
Dude, the keyboard warriors are as bad as they've ever been.
They are so fucking mean.
Like,
and it's so bad on, I think I said this last week, but on the People Instagram, and I'm sure it's on a lot of Instagram accounts, but like, I sometimes just look at the, people are fucking horrible.
They act
on
like
there.
They know that person personally.
Yeah.
And these like weird parasocial relationships that people have with anyone who has a following, especially like big time celebrities, is so fucking weird to me.
Mm-hmm. I know. I know. Bizarre to even waste your time like writing mean things to celebrities on their posts and stuff. It's like, dude, you're really a loser. You have nothing going on if you have time to do that. Seriously, like, look in the mirror. Self-evaluation.
It's so true.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that. Okay, so check out the documentary, guys. Hopefully that gave you, like, somewhat of a rundown in our thoughts on it, but just so well done. Excellent. Highly recommend. Now let's talk about Diddy. Did he do it? Absolutely.
Yes, he did it. Sick bitch.
Did he do
it? He's finally arrested.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Sick ass. All right. Monday, September 16th, he was arrested in Manhattan.
Crowley, you always quiet out my claps. Is there a reason? Is this too loud?
No, Allphonic does it. Our software.
I always thought Corelli's muting my clapping. So you guys just see me silently clapping.
No, our audio software thinks
that
it's
just adding claps.
It thinks it's an annoying background sound, so it tries to cut it out.
Allphonic, you'd be fucking me over.
Yeah. Anyways, he was arrested after nearly a year of ongoing investigations on an indictment charging him with racketeering conspiracy, sex trafficking, and transportation for purposes of prostitution. This nasty motherfucker, as Kendall said, she's always hated him. He is
one of the most
evil
vile
human
people.
He is. I don't even have words to describe
disgusting.
Him.
Disgusting.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Vile.
Vile.
What are other terrible words? Atrocious.
Atrocious.
Excuse of a human.
Janelle just repeats.
Slime ball.
Slime ball.
That's right. Slime ball.
Hate him so much.
Yeah, he is.
Abominable.
Yes.
Abomination.
Abominable snowman. Yeah, abomination's good. I like that. He is truly an abomination.
Depraved.
Depraved.
He's extremely depraved. Sick.
Very fuck. Unpleasant, disgusting, nasty, terrible, dreadful, ghastly, horrid, vile, foul.
Oh, I like
appalling.
That's good.
Atrocious. Mm-hmm. Horrendous.
Mm-hmm. You are all of the above, Diddy. You fucking piece of shit. I hope you rot the rest of your life.
Also, this is just a side note, but his music streams since being arrested have gone up 18%, which at first I was like, what the hell? But it doesn't really surprise me because I feel like even if you're being talked about for doing something disgusting, you're still being talked about. People are still thinking about you and they're probably like, oh yeah, what was he singing? What, you know, what were his songs? So anyways, just wanted to throw that in there. He's making a little cash while he's in jail. So he was arrested. We'll overlay the footage of him being arrested. There's no sound or anything, but I mean, it's basically him just...
Can I just see it again?
Yeah, because that's just...
I just want to watch it.
I agree.
It's so satisfying.
So here he comes. They're like, hello, you're being served.
Hello.
Where?
He knew that was coming, though, dude.
Oh, yeah. He's like, all right, let's fucking go.
And that's that, motherfucker.
Stupid bitch.
Also, you should type in after this. Hang on.
Here he goes. He's in handcuffs. Let's go, buddy.
This is so satisfying.
Yep.
I hope Cassie watched this video and smiled.
For real, though. Fucker.
I like they have ghosts behind them.
I know. Out you go, bitch. I hope you never come out of jail for the rest of your fucking life. Disgusting perv. What were you saying about a different video?
Yeah, type in Diddy hours before arrest in Central Park.
Oh, I saw this. He's like hanging out.
But he looks...
He definitely is like...
He's like looking behind
coming.
His shoulder.
Yeah.
He's like, he knew. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just think it's funny how he's like, well, let me just go to Central Park. Let me, you know, embrace the freedom and nature one more time.
While I have it.
Mm-hmm.
On the table.
They should have arrested him there. That would have been more entertaining.
That would have been in front of all those people.
He's like looking around all sus. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, just hours before. Huh?
He's
so
pleading
happy.
Not guilty, of course.
Of course.
Says, I ain't guilty.
Of what?
Fuck. Guilty of what?
Just like he said in his Instagram story video, he made his like little apology.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was that?
God. He's vile. Vile. It's another one. Did we already say vile?
Yeah, said vile several times.
Got it. Well, he is vile. Fucker. Anyways, Damian Williams, who is the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, who brought on the indictment, wrote a letter to a U.S. magistrate judge giving the reasons why Diddy should be held in jail until his trial, because of course he's trying to get out on a bond, which he keeps getting denied for, thank God. But they say dozens of victims and witnesses have provided detailed, credible, and corroborated information against the defendant. These individuals include many who personally experienced and witnessed violence and other crimes at the hand of the defendant. And yeah, so his lawyers were like, can he be on bond? And they were like, no.
They must have known that was not going to happen.
Yeah. He offered, what was it, a 500...
Yeah,
good jillion.
Million dollars. The 55 million, something ridiculous.
No, there's no amount of money worth your freedom.
I hope I don't know. I was talking to my dad. He's like, I kind of think he will get out on bond for now. And I'm like, really?
I don't think so.
I don't think he's going to either. No, disgusting. He's like, and he's being held at this like horrible, horrible detention center. The Metropolitan.
Where he belongs.
That's right. In Brooklyn. It's known for being very, very dangerous. It's known for being very understaffed. Like, the conditions are fucking bad. R. Kelly was there. Ghislaine Maxwell. Disgusting.
Ew, R. Kelly's disgusting, too.
Fetty Wap. Fetty Wap?
Yeah, you didn't know about Fetty Wap?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, he went down for drugs.
You're right.
I always did love Fetty Wap, though.
Yeah, Fetty Wap.
What?
Which one was that?
What's that? Isn't it 39, 68 or something?
Oh, yeah. 39, 68.
I don't know.
Hey, I say, hey, what's up? Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Murder on the floor.
I'll be in the club cooking pies with my baby.
Hey. That's all I forgot.
Was it in the club? I think it was kitchen. Sorry.
I'll be in the kitchen. He's in the club cooking pies. It's notorious for having horrible living conditions, violence, power outages. Michael Cohen actually was an inmate at this prison in 2020. He said, waking up on a steel bed with a 1.5-inch mattress, no pillow, and an 8x10-foot cell that I can assure you is disgusting. No. Good. That's exactly where you belong, you sick bitch.
Sick bitch.
As in Diddy is a sick bitch.
So is Michael Cohen.
Yeah, that's true.
He's Trump's former lawyer, if you don't know, but
yeah,
he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he is. So one attorney, Nima Romani, said that he does not expect Diddy to enter a plea deal after pleading not guilty. He explained that considering that sentences for the charges against Combs range from 15 years to life in prison, hopefully he's getting life in prison to go, quote, Diddy is not going to take any deal where he is going to spend decades in federal prison. So yeah, like you said, if he's convicted, he could serve life in prison with a minimum of 15 years. For the 3 felony counts he's facing, sick ass.
I mean, there's so much evidence. I really think he's going to end up in life in prison. I'm going to be very upset.
Oh, if he gets off like without that mm-hmm. is such a injustice.
Yeah, yes.
of everyone who he has wronged, which is mm-hmm. so many people.
So many people. Ugh. God, I saw a clip the other day too of The Apprentice. So this clip, it doesn't say who exactly this person is. She's a contestant on Donald Trump's The Apprentice. It's obviously a very old clip. I'm not sure. It doesn't say. Maybe Aubrey O'Day? Not completely sure. Someone can let us know, but just listen to this.
I am a very strict and focused businesswoman because working for Diddy for 6 years trained me to have to be perfect.
Working for Diddy?
Absolutely.
I love Diddy. You know, he's a good friend of mine. He's a good guy. Is he a good guy?
I don't want to answer that question.
Oh, wow. I think he's a good guy. I'm going to stick up for him.
I'm going to stick Holy up shit. For him. Mm.
Okay.
Not surprising.
No. So remember that video that was going around back when this was all starting to unfold of him horrifically abusing Cassie.
Mm-hmm. Chasing her through the hotel, throwing her on the ground.
It is so
We talked about
disturbing.
That clip on this show, too. I remember we...
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, anyways, and we were talking about how someone probably paid, or Diddy was probably paying someone off to make that clip of him disappear, because all of a sudden it just came out of nowhere. Well, it was revealed in the indictment that Diddy, in fact, paid off the hotel workers to make the clip disappear. And Diddy said he couldn't function without his chief of staff, Christina Quorum, who was being called the Ghislaine Maxwell to his Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, 100%.
She was very instrumental in his freak-offs, which that whole thing is disgusting.
Yeah, I'm sure most of you know the term freak-offs, and now it's becoming like a meme on social media, freak-offs.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's disgusting. I don't want to get into
she supposedly like
it,
knew but... everything that was going on. They called her the manipulator in chief. It's just
she booked everyone, and she's the one that found
exactly
like, the sex workers and everything too.
Well, sometimes Cassie had to do that too.
Yes,
he'd make her do it.
Yep. Yeah, and just to note, Christina has not been arrested or charged with anything yet, but
I'm sure it's coming.
We'll see what happens.
I hope it's coming.
People have also been talking about Justin Bieber a ton because he was very close with Diddy, especially when he was like a young teenage boy. There's old creepy ass clips of him being like, oh, Justin and I are hanging out.
Yeah.
And
we showed a lot of that on Mile Higher too.
Yeah.
People Magazine, once again, these fucks, they posted today something about Justin. I'm like looking at their page now. I'm not seeing it, but it was, I know I saw it this morning. Maybe they deleted it because they were getting shit on it, but it was just a random picture of Justin. It was like, Justin says that after the Diddy arrest, he is focusing on his wife and baby. Why are you even fucking continuing to bring this?
That's how you get the views. Suck. I don't think Justin, he's very much out of this. Like, he wants something to do with it, it sounds like.
At least not at this point in his life. I mean, we don't know what actually happened. I assume probably not great things. But, like, it's not anyone's information. And there were so many people commenting on this People post that, like, he needs to come out forward with the truth and tell his story and be fuck you.
Yeah.
He does not owe you anything, dude. He could never speak about this ever, and that's completely fine.
So another video actually has resurfaced following Diddy's arrest, and this time it involves a former adult entertainer named Jonathan Oatey, who we spoke about in Mile Higher. He was actually arrested in 2018 for allegedly shooting up one of Trump's Florida golf courses.
Yep.
And he was telling cops during his interrogation that he had allegedly been Diddy's sex slave. He talks about how, he says, quote, I had sex with Cassie and Sean, and just he went into more detail about it. It's really sick, honestly, and you can find it online if you want to hear about it. But yeah, a lot of his allegations were never really taken seriously and were dismissed. But obviously,
starting
to really have a strong resemblance to the claims in the indictment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, former Danity Kane member, which I love Danity Kane growing up, Dawn Richard, she ended up suing Diddy. Just recently, September 10th, she filed a lawsuit against Diddy alleging that he assaulted her, deprived her of food and sleep, and refused to pay her adequately, which, really aligns with many other people's stories. So.
Yeah. And she says that she witnessed Diddy physically abuse his former girlfriend, Cassie, multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
She also said that he and associates would engage in illegal drugs and sexual acts with underage girls.
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting. Mm-hmm. They met during Making the Band. Didn't you say that that was like one of the worst shows ever?
No. Making the Band was like MTV, and that was a long time ago. I'm talking about The Four.
Oh, right.
It was like an attempt to be The Voice. I think there's only two seasons of it, but that's when I really started hating Diddy because he fucked over Javaya, and I loved her.
I remember
so much.
That vividly well.
I slammed the TV remote down. I was like, fuck this show. Fuck Diddy.
Yeah. She said that.
Such an arrogant prick.
Her and other bandmates were forced to rehearse for up to 48 hours with no rest or food, and that she lost a significant amount of weight and started getting rashes from the microphone pack that she wore on her back while filming. And she said that this is disgusting. Diddy would come into her dressing room unannounced while she was working with her stylist and would like start touching her different body parts. And she also claims that Diddy would regularly ask her to strip down to her underwear during rehearsals and would smack her on the ass and would hold meetings while he would only be wearing his underwear. Ew. It sounds like just disgusting.
It's really interesting that he called his little shenanigans freak-offs, because he could not be more of a freak. Like,
he is
in every sense
freakiest
of the word.
Freak.
You are a motherfucking freak.
Yeah.
Also, September 19th, very recently, former Bad Boys Records rapper Shine, who is kind of Diddy's protege, reflected on what happened when he was out at a nightclub with Diddy in New York in 1999. His real name is Jamal Michael Barrow, and he's actually now a politician who serves as the leader for the opposition in the Belize House of Representatives and is also a prominent figure in the Belize United Democratic Party. So super cool. Career change there for him.
Yeah.
But he is reflecting on that night, saying it destroyed his life. On December 27th, 1999, he was out with Diddy and his girlfriend at the time, Jennifer Lopez, at a nightclub in New York City. And a fight broke out reportedly between Diddy, Shine, Matthew Allen, aka Scar, after Diddy knocked a drink from a man's hand and someone tossed money in Diddy's direction. And then Diddy fired 3 shots into the ceiling of the club and bystanders were injured. Which we did get into this on Mile Higher. Shine says that he was trying to defend Diddy, and then Diddy turned around and called witnesses to testify against Shine. J-Lo and Diddy fled the scene, but were later arrested and charged.
Yep.
J-Lo's charges were dropped, but the ones against Diddy, Shine, and Scar took.
And it, destroyed his life for a long time.
Mm-hmm, because he was convicted of assault and reckless endangerment and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Mm-hmm. And he served almost 9 years before being deported back to Belize in 2009.
Yep.
But yeah, what a success story for him though, since after being going through so much. Really, really cool.
Yeah. Then, of course, there's J-Lo, who was dating him between 1999 and 2001, so for a few years. And Lil Rods, who we talked about in Mile Higher a lot, lawsuit mentioned the situation with Shine, alleging that she transported the illegal firearm used in the shooting and that Diddy forced Shine to take responsibility. So people are like...
I'm pretty sure she was just carrying it in her purse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People think like those who were had some type of connection to Diddy are going to be testifying against him. And is that because perhaps they had some involvement and, you know, if they're willing to like help out the case, then they'd be presumed, you know, innocent or
given some type of immunity type situation, possibly, or she'll just be asked to testify regardless, just subpoenaed.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, there's like
plays out
pictures of her in bed with all these other famous people from his 4th of July bash back in 2000. They're like on this giant bed. It's fucking weird.
But a lot of people have been saying that these pictures are from the freak offs, and they're saying that J-Lo was at the freak offs because of this picture, these pictures. But that is, I mean, these are reported as the 4th of July party.
Yeah.
Like I've seen a lot of posts, especially on Twitter, saying that she was in a freak off and like using these pictures. So like that's kind of been debunked by this.
Mm-hmm. Also, people are talking about Prince Harry.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I don't know. Like there's no allegations against Prince Harry right now. It's a lot of like speculation. There's a lot of people who are like, oh, so-and-so was pictured with Diddy. Oh, yeah. So-and-so was at Diddy's party. And well, obviously there's a chance that maybe they knew it was going on or they were involved. I think there's also a chance that he was just this famous rich dude that threw fucking ragers. And so people, he would invite famous rich, other famous people, and they would come and they would party with him. And there's a high chance that they had no idea what he was also doing.
You know? Like, are there probably more celebrities involved? Absolutely.
Definitely.
And I hope that comes out
through
all of this. Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting how the internet has kind of been like, oh, anyone that went to a Diddy party ever is like guilty in a crime or knows about X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And that's just clearly not the case. No. Come on, people, be real.
So after pleading not guilty to the charges of racketeering, conspiracy, and sex trafficking, Diddy was ordered to remain in custody until his federal trial in New York. And like we said, Damian Williams was vague when asked whether Diddy or others involved could face more charges. And he's like, I can't take anything off the table. Anything is possible. And our investigation is very active and ongoing. So I think overall, like, it's just too early to tell what's really going on. But I think more and more will unfold as the time goes on.
But yeah, it was pretty wild to see after the raid that they did on his house. this information was not out when we covered this.
No.
But yeah, they found tons of weird freak off supplies and narcotics, and then more than 1,000 bottles of baby oil and lubricant.
And like a shit ton of dildos.
Disgusting, dude. Why would you need 1,000 bottles?
It was
of
like
that?
A like, whole
dude, like I said, freak.
Total freak. Which again, like if you just want to be a sexual person and use a bunch of lube consensually, great. Do what you want.
Yes, of course. Yeah, but you want like, $1,000 or 1,000 bottles of lube? Yeah.
But like
thousands of bottles of that lube on the wall. You can have that. You can have that. But like we know what happened at these freak offs.
Yeah.
And the lube was not used in good ways.
Yep.
Let's just leave it there.
His attorney says that they're going to continue, obviously, to appeal the ruling. And that the living conditions are very inhumane. Well, Diddy treated his victims inhumanely. So I don't really feel that bad for you, buddy.
No. I love it.
I really don't.
I love it so much.
Yeah, his attorney, of course, believes he's innocent on everything. But
of course.
We'll see about that.
What is he going to be like? I think he's possibly innocent.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, man. We'll see.
Yeah, but big win here.
Big fucking
really
win.
Really excited that this is happening. And it'll be interesting to see this play out. Yeah. Will real justice be served? I feel like there'll be some element, but I hope it's to the fullest extent possible.
Yep, me too.
Pig.
And we'll see if other people are brought into this as well.
Yeah, yep.
But for now, obviously, it's just him. We'll keep an eye out.
It is. Well, we wanted to leave you guys with a little bit of a happier story after we just talked about some heavy things.
This is just so funny.
We had to talk about this. These are dogs who are posing as pandas and not by choice. Okay. They're imposter pandas at the zoo. This is a zoo in China that has been accused of trying to deceive their visitors with a pair of dogs who are dyed black and white, two made to be look like pandas.
Which at first, they kind of do.
Yeah, like at first glance. Like
at first glance.
I came across this video and sent it to them the other night.
Yeah.
Josh and I were both like, wait, the fuck? Is that a fucking dog?
Let's watch the video.
Yeah.
They're like panting.
They're panting. it's so ridiculous. At first, I didn't even believe this was real.
Honestly, it looks like a great environment for the little dogs.
Yeah, they're like
got some grass,
this is sweet.
A little water pool.
But dude, even they died around their eyes. It's
yeah.
Like, or maybe they had darker eyes to begin with. I don't know. But it's so obviously dogs.
Oh,
how long did this go
little
on?
Chow chows. Which, what, chow okay, chows. When you look at the chow, it's like so obvious. That's exactly
dude,
what is going
chow
on.
Chows.
They're so cute.
Yeah, there isn't like a ton of information available on this because it is in China and a lot of the reporting is in Chinese and we couldn't understand. But
and also like,
well, they admitted to it.
Yeah, they were like,
yeah, no, they were like, yeah you got us.
Yeah,
they're dogs. Yeah. Whoopsie. It's like, it's China too. Shouldn't there be like, what was I want? That's what I want to know. What was the reason? Did you guys, the pandas were sick and you like dubbed in the dogs for a day,
right.
Or you didn't have any pandas,
sure.
So you've just been lying.
How
this
long
whole
has
time?
This been going on?
Right.
Maybe
like,
we'll.
These are the details I want to know.
If anyone knows about the rest of the story,
this story
leave
just
it below.
Broke when we're
yeah.
recording.
I need to know the full story behind this. I am curious.
Look at this is the best picture.
I know.
Like, clearly a dog.
He's so cute.
Yes. Dude, he's so cute.
Chow Chows are so fucking cute.
They really are.
But I've heard they're kind of like grumpy sometimes.
Yeah.
They must eat around 26 to 84 pounds bamboo every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're always eating. They're busy.
Wow.
They have a lot.
Wow.
And they're rolling around.
Fill those donks,
they're
you know?
So cute. Anyways.
I love this sentence. Zoo officials admitted to the Chinese state media that they were chow chows painted
yeah.
black. They're like, so sorry.
Look at the picture I put at the bottom of this little Lisa Frank dog.
Oh my gosh. I've seen people dye their dogs. Is that safe to do?
There's
yeah,
like,
there's
yeah.
pet
oh yeah, there's,
dye.
Right. Okay. For like Halloween or something,
yeah,
it'd be fun.
It'd be so fun.
Our grandpa put his dog in his nursing home's costume contest for Halloween. Remember
yes.
that?
Yes, he did.
Wasn't he a bottle of Jack Daniels
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, because his name was Jack and he was like,
yeah.
had a little top hat on mm-hmm. and he had like a little Jack Daniels shirt on. It was so cute.
I think
he
that
won.
Was Grandy's like last year too. So it was a big
last
win for
year,
him.
It was like his
a great memory
year
at the
before
end.
He started declining.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really cute. Anyways.
All right, guys.
That's going to be it for us.
Thanks
today.
For hanging out with us. We definitely want to hear your feedback on, I mean, everything we covered, but yes. I'm really curious to hear what you think about Child Star or yeah. if you're going to watch it. If you've already watched it, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yes.
Again, just so well done. Nothing but praise for it.
Yeah. That's it. We will see you on the next session. Until then, keep it fresh.